So thank you so much to Michelle for hosting, and Michelle with one L is hosting. Thank you, and Be'ezus Hashem, the learning that we do should be zechus for the Perlman family in all ways. And we start Parsha Shoftim is the first parsha that we read normally during the month of El. Sometimes Parshas Re'eh is Rosh Chodesh, but Shoftim is always a parsha that we read during the month of El. And as we've learned together many years, looking at my notes on Parsha Shoftim, so many of the ideas are about Elul. And tonight also we'll have a focus a little bit on Elul and a little bit on the Parsha. And we know, of course, the Parsha begins, Shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chal sha'arecha, that you shall place judges and officers at all your gates. And we've learned together before the famous interpretation of the Shla HaKadosh, Rabbi Yishaya Levi Horowitz, who says that the guards and the judges that you have to place at your gates are talking about the seven gates of your soul. What are the seven gates to a person's soul? Your two eyes, your two ears, your mouth, and even your two nostrils. Those are the seven gates to a person's soul. And the Shla HaKadosh says that's the first pasuk that we read so often in the month of Elul, in a month of preparing ourselves for the Yom Noraim, these unique and very, very special 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul up until Yom HaKippurim, right? As we've learned together before, that the Kaf HaChaim, Rav Chaim Palachi, says that we know the Gemara tells us there are 40 days to create a fetus. And so these are the 40 days that we're creating ourselves anew. That's what happens from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom HaKippurim. These 40 days correspond to the 40 days of Yetziras Havlad. And so during this time, the Shla HaKadosh says, we have to be very, very careful about putting guards at our gates. We know that some say there's great significance to this. Rav Simi Shabtai down in Boca was the first one that shared this with me, and we were schmoozing about it back and forth, spoke to one of my brothers about it, that there are sources in the Zohar and other Kabbalistic texts that if you're not careful with your power of speech, so for 40 days, your like prayers don't really have the same efficacy. So what is 40 days before Yom Kippur? Rosh Chodesh Elul. So if you want your prayers on Yom HaKippurim, the like prime day of prayer all year is Yom HaKippurim, not necessarily the most powerful day of prayer, whether that's Purim, whether there are other days, but the day that we spend the most totally immersed in prayer is Yom Kippur. It's the only day of the year when we have five prayers, right? There's Maariv, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, and then Ne'ilah, the only day that we pray so much, like the whole day we're praying. So already, Reb Sraya Deblitsky Zatzal, who was a great Mekubal, a great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, passed away just a short while ago, a couple of years ago. So he said that, you know, from Rosh Hashanah, it's the 19th of Av, so that already passed. We're not going to talk about that. But from Rosh Chodesh Elul is 40 days up until Yom Kippur, so we have to be very careful about it. But I saw a beautiful idea from Rav today, Rav Shaul Brach, who shares a very, very beautiful, beautiful, sweet idea. You know, the pasuk says, Shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chal sha'arecha, that we have to place officers and we have to place judges at all of our gates. And as the Shla HaKadosh says, the seven gates to your soul. But he says, think about what is it that we guard and how do we guard things, right? Like, you know, he lives in Eretz Israel. So he says, imagine you get change, like 3 shekel from a store. You know, 3 of those, what my mother calls dingles, right? Those 3 dingle shekel coins. How carefully do you guard those 3 shekel coins? Again, it's worth 80 cents, right? When you get change from your coffee at 7-Eleven, right? So, a lot of people have like a change place they put in their car or a change cup that they put in a cup. And you don't really, you know, what about if you have a $5 bill? You pay more attention to that. What happens if you have a $100 bill? What happens if somehow you have $5,000 cash? You keep that very, very carefully put away. You're very, very, you put it maybe if you have a home safe, you put it in the safe, right? Because the things, the more precious it is, the more valuable it is, the more you have to protect it. I remember when we were once driving up Rehov Aza in Yerushalayim, and we saw just on Rehov Aza in Yerushalayim, if you know the street, it's a street that goes all the way up, cuts right into the heart of town from the Malcha area down from there. And, you know, we're passing a building, and all of a sudden, outside the building, we see there's a bulletproof booth, and they're one guard in the booth, one guard on the corner, and you're like, okay, that house has to be something. Like, what's in that apartment building? The fact that the guards are there, what does it show? It shows that there's something important, someone important there, right? If you see a building that has like no windows and there are guards all over and there are cameras all over, you know what? There's something very, very valuable and important in that building. So Zot Rav Shaul Brach, do you see how precious your soul is? That at all the gates, the Pasuk is telling us, Shoftim v'shotim titen lecha b'chal sha'arecha. Do we recognize how precious our speech is? Do we recognize how precious our sight is, our power of hearing is, even our power of smell, right? We've said many times that the power of smell was the only scent, was the only one of the five senses that wasn't affected by the sin of Adam and Chava. So it's the only thing that is still as powerful from before the sin, right? That's why the smelling things in Judaism has a very big place, not only Motzei Shabbos, to bring comfort to the soul. Sfaradim making besamim all the time. The beginning of Shabbos, end of Shabbos, at a bris, and their wedding. I remember, you know, at a wedding that the kala was Sfaradi, Ariel Kotler and Renit Kotler, you know. All of a sudden, being Mesara Kiddushin, and in between the Berchas Eris, and some guy, like, literally shoves Hadassim, like, almost up my nostrils, like, Tevadech, Tevadech, like, what? Oh. Like, I'm not used to this. I was, like, a little bit taken aback, but, you know, there's a very, very big power to the sense of smell. But here, what Rav Shaul Brach is saying is, think about it. We have so many guards at the eyelids. We have the earlobes to close in, close the nostrils. The mouth has the teeth, has the lips, double gates around the mouth. You have to be very, very careful. And what it shows us is how precious our soul is. We totally, totally underestimate ourselves. We so often sell ourselves short as to the what a person can really accomplish and the preciousness of each and every soul, something we spoke about last week. So when we talk about Shoftim v'shotrin titam l'cha b'chal sha'arecha, the importance of making sure that we have the judges and the officers, again, the officers to carry out, but the judges is that we have to be careful about what we look at. We have to be careful what we listen to. We have to be careful, certainly, even what we smell and the words that we say. Because we have to understand all of these things can affect the soul, right? It's a story I tell often to students of mine. When I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva many years ago, I don't know if I must have told this here once, I don't know how long ago, but I had a student, I won't say where, from somewhere of warmer climates, who was very, very into rap music. And the big celebration, 50 years of hip-hop, but a lot of that music, unfortunately, is not appropriate for a person that has spiritual aspirations. And I remember him once telling me, you know, Rebbe, davening is so hard, learning is so hard. And I said to him, let's say his name was Michael. I said, Michael, stop listening to the rap music. Do yourself a favor. Don't listen to it for 2 to 3 weeks and see what happens. He says, come on, Rabbi, come on, that's crazy. I don't believe it. I'm like, okay. I remember we finished a very, very long and tough topic. We were learning Gemara Shabbos. Scott Wittenberg was in the shiur at the time. He was in my shiur, and it was a very tough, we learned a very hard sugya. We were pounding away like 3 weeks intensely. So I said, okay, we finished. We're taking a siyum day. So my favorite place to go, my students in Teaneck, they know also, Chala Torah, I love zoos. Van Saun Park Zoo is free from their last week in October until the beginning of April. Oh, I know that. Don't worry. Yeah. Some of my students have been there multiple times in the Van Saun Park. There really isn't much there, but they have buffalo, so I like that. You know, they have bison. I'm good with that. You can just stand there and watch them for a while, chase the elk around. But I remember we went to the Biblical Zoo, and on the Biblical Zoo, when you have like almost 20, 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old guys, like, what are you going to do with them? Of course you're going to go on the train ride, right? The one shekel train ride, all these big guys, the stuff that you imagine, Scott Winberg stuffing one of those, you know, little train seats in the Biblical Zoo. So we're all going there, and this guy, Michael, says, Rebbe, just listen, you think rap is so bad? Listen to this music. And he wanted to put on a song for me from Eminem called Stan. Okay, if you know it, you don't have to admit to it knowing it. So Lemaisa, he gives me this, and you remember there were things called disc men, disc players? Oh, yeah. So he had pressed stop once. So you just press the play button and it starts from the song. But when you press stop twice, it starts from the beginning of the album. So the Marshall Mathers LP, if you remember, I press stop twice. And he's like, Rebbe, no, no, no. And I press play. And the way that that album starts, Eminem says, for all you bleepity 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 bleeps that didn't bleeping believe in me, bleep you. I press stop. I said, Michael, I rest my case. Thank you so much. I said, I'm done. You're saying learning is hard for you. You're saying davening is hard for you. Listen to what's going into your soul. Listen to what you're taking in. It surprises you. We know the Gemara tells us that eating non-kosher is metamtem the lave. It stops up your spiritual heart. I remember when I worked at the OU, of Mordechai Eliyahu visited a short while before, who was then the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel. He was an amazing tzaddik. Everyone knows Rav Avad Yosef, but Mordechai Eliyahu was an amazing tzaddik, such a sensitive person, tremendous mekubal, a mystic. And he spoke at the OU and he said, understand, you have a major part in the tshuva movement in America. Because you're clarifying what's kosher. When a person wants to come closer to God, by the fact that they know they can eat food that's kosher, that doesn't have impurities in it, it helps their soul in a very real way. And so people think, oh, you eat treif, that affects your soul. But you don't think what you look at, what you listen to, of course that affects it also. And I still remember, like 3 weeks later, Michael came to the Beis Medrash. If you remember CD holders, remember those CD holders? They were like, they had those zippers, right? Right, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Real 4 liter. The case, right, and you flip them like that. So he came up with two of them, and he's like, Rebbe, here. I'm like, what's this? He's like, I have to admit you're right. I said, what do you mean? He said, after that day in the zoo, I stopped listening to rap music. My davening got better. My learning got better. Everything got better. And so, here, I want to give you the CDs. So what should I do with them? He's like, break them, whatever you want, Rebbe. I'm like, yeah, so some mother in South Florida and say, some crazy rabbi in my son's school broke my son. I'm like, you take them. So what should I do with them? Sell them in the shuk. You'll make a lot of money to the Russians. Hitaka made a lot of money. He came and gave me the miser for yeshiva. It was like, he made thousands of shekel. Because Israelis pay a lot of money. These were good CDs. Remember CDs back in the day? In Israel, a CD could cost 70 shek. It was like unbelievable. And he had lots of them that were objectionable. But this is the idea of shoftim v'shotrin titim l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. Meaning, we have to understand how delicate and sensitive and priceless our soul is. And we shouldn't do anything that could compromise it for it to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. And of course, in today's day and age, you have to be very judicious. We have to be very careful about what we take in, about what we let our children take in. Because it has an effect. It definitely has an effect. And so that's why the importance here, as Rav Shaul Brach says, the fact that the Torah tells us, Shoftim v'shotrin titim l'cha b'chol sha'arecha, and the Shlach Hadash says it means guarding the seven gates to your soul, we have to understand what that really means, what that says about our soul. What it means that we put the gates and we have the guards and the judges everywhere to think, should I be looking at this? Should I be listening to this? Should I be saying this, right? Should I be smelling this? We know the Gemara and Yuma talks about the power of smell and what that can do, right? So this is one very important idea as we're coming to the month of Elul. And as we know, someone in Shul always said to me, Rebbe, when are you going to say? You didn't say the Shabbos. I was very disappointed. Every Elul, you say the famous Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach would say that what does Elul mean? What does that word Elul mean? If you look in Parsha Shalach, when it talks about the spies that are going to seek out and search the land, it says, Lasur es aretz, v'yasuru es eretz kenan, v'ya'alulun. Elul is Aramaic for seeking and searching out. That's what the month of Elul is about. The month of Elul is when we search our soul, when we seek our soul, when we're trying to have that real cheshbon hanefesh. And again, it's not necessarily a comfortable thing. it's not a comfortable thing, you know, as we've been learning the Pirkei Avos with the Perush of Dr. Tversky, the importance of having healthy self-esteem, to have a real cheshbon nefesh. We have to have a healthy self-esteem, and what that means is we have to know how precious our soul is. Again, that was the message of Parshas Re'eh we spoke about on Shabbos. Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. How much Hashem loves us and how much Hashem wants the best for us and all of Torah and mitzvahs, and Hashem wants us to know that He's always there for us, and we constantly that we can throw our burdens on Him. But what we have to recognize when we understand how great we are, we understand our responsibility to take care of this very, very special thing, as we say a bracha every morning, Elokai neshama shenasatabi tahorei. The God, the soul that you put in me, it's pure. Ata barasa, ata yitzarta, ata nafachtabi. You created it, you formed it, you breathed it into my body. You breathed this soul into my body. And we have a responsibility to take care of it. And during the month of Elul is when we're supposed to take that cheshbon, when we're supposed to take a step back and look how the year has been and how I want the year to maybe be different this coming year. And that's one idea about Parsha Shoftim. There's a second idea of how Parsha Shoftim from the third pasuk in the Parsha, which tells us a very, very famous phrase, one of the most famous phrases in the Torah that we've learned together about many, many times. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. We know we've quoted Unkelus's pshat on it, that Unkelus says tzedek, tzedek, tirdof is kushta, kushta. Truth, truth. That tzedek means truth. They have to change after, chase after truth. But the Ben Ish Chai, one of the great Sfaradi Chachamim from Baghdad, from about a century and a half ago, the Ben Ish Chai has a couple of questions on this famous, famous pasuk. Right? It's not on the Liberty Bell. Where is it? Is it in the hall of the UN General Assembly? It's in a famous place. I remember seeing Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, justice, justice you pursue. Maybe it's in the United Nations General Assembly by the Great Hall. It's on a wall. The big quote from Deuteronomy 16:20. But the first question is, why twice? Why does it say Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof? If it means the same thing, just say Tzedek, Tirdof. Right? Chase peace. Chase justice. Why do you say justice, justice, you shall pursue? If you want to emphasize it, say tzedek, tirdof, ma'od. Chase it a lot. What does it mean? Tzedek, tzedek, justice, justice, you shall pursue. It doesn't seem to be talking about the same thing. Why does it say it twice, right? Very simple question. Second question, why does it say tirdof, you shall chase after it? Most of the time, in the Torah and in Nevi'im, what is the implication of the word rodef? Right? We actually spoke about this. Dr. Tversky raised this question on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos about Talmid of Shalar on rodef shalom, right? What does rodef mean? You know what rodef normally means? It means to chase after something, to like drive it away, or to like destroy it. We know a rodef is a person who's pursuing another person to really harm them. And so what does it mean? Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, justice, justice, you shall pursue, meaning chase justice away? What does that mean? And third, the rest of the pasuk is l'man tichyu, so that you should live, v'yarashta, and you'll inherit the land. Again, why does it say so that you live and inherit the land? If I'm going to inherit the land, of course I'm going to be living. So what's going on here? So the Ben Ish Chai has a very different approach to what tzedek, tzedek, tirdof means. Again, one of the most famous phrases, I think, in the Torah, certainly to the outside world, I think like every lawyer somewhere has justice you shall pursue, right? I mean, yeah, on some matzevas of lawyers, sometimes they have tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. You ever seen that? Well, you go to cemeteries, you look tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, guy's a lawyer, right? Sometimes it's on the matzevas of lawyers. But he has a very different pshat, and his pshat comes from the beginning of Parshas Vayera. And he has a famous question, a question that a lot of people, someone just asked me a version of this question recently, when probably a couple of months ago, not so recently. Time flies, right? When we read about Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said to me, I remember it was Motzei Shabbos, he was walking me out to my car and says, Rav, I don't know, hey, actually, was it Hirsch Meilich? It might have been Hirsch Meilich. Because there aren't too many people still around in Shul of Rabbeinu Tam Tam. Hirsch Meilich and Avram Chaim and Rick Kafkin, not too many others, right? It's like the four of us normally. But maybe it was him that he like asked, I don't understand why why does the Torah tell us about Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe? Like, isn't that Lashon Hara itself? Right? So why does the Torah tell it? Obviously, because there's a benefit that we need to learn from it. And the Rambam discusses it and many others. So in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, we're told a little bit something negative about Sara Imenu, right? What are we told negative about Sara Imenu at the beginning of Parshas Vayera? That when the Malachim say that Sara is going to have a child, what does she say? She said, Avram's old, I'm old, how is this going to happen? And when Hashem approaches Avram, says, why did Sara live? Why did she say that she's old? And what did he leave out? That Hashem didn't say anything about Sara laughing, that Avram was old. So, again, the Ben Ish Chai says, why does the Torah have to tell us what Sara said and that what Avram changed? Why doesn't it just say that Sara laughed and Hashem said to Avram, why is Sara laughing, saying that she's old? Why does the Torah tell us that Sara Imenu laughed and said, I'm old, Avram's old, this isn't going to happen? And Hashem says, why did Sara laugh, saying, I'm old, it's not going to happen? You know why? Because it's teaching us that sometimes it's wrong to say the truth. Not only that it's that you don't have to tell the truth, it's an aveira to tell the truth. It's wrong to tell the truth. It's wrong. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. That Hashem didn't say really what Sara said because Hashem was teaching us a lesson that sometimes you don't tell the truth. It's like I remember one time with a question and answer with one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Rosenzweig, shlita from Yeshiva University. It was at a Hanukkah get together in his house in Kew Gardens. And someone who's involved in NCSY asked him, like, you know, sometimes to talk about certain mitzvos in the fullest sense, you know, it could turn people off. They're not ready to hear certain mitzvos. And Rav Rosenzweig, is that ziyuf ha-Torah? Is that misrepresenting the Torah if you don't really fully share all the halachos of a mitzvah because you're afraid that the person won't be able to handle it and it might turn the person off? And Rosenzweig, I still remember, he said, sometimes the greatest ziyuf ha-Torah is not to be mezayif the Torah. Sometimes the greatest corruption of Torah is not to corrupt the Torah, is not to misrepresent. Meaning, you have to misrepresent the Torah then, but that's not misrepresenting the Torah. You're just sharing with them what they can hear at that point, right? So here too, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, Zakt the Ben Ish Chai. You know what it means? They're two different words. Tzedek means tzedakah. The first time we say tzedek, it doesn't mean justice, it means righteousness. It means tzedakah, to do chesed with another person. Sometimes tzedek, tzedek tirdof. The second tzedek means truth. Sometimes to do tzedakah, to do chesed for a person, you know what you have to do? You have to chase away truth. You have to just chase truth away. And he gives a beautiful, I mean, clear examples. The ultimate example, you go in to visit someone who's not doing well. And, you look great. You look amazing. Because what do? You walk in and go, oh, gosh, you look horrible. You look like a train wreck. Right? Like, is that what you're going to tell a person? Of course not. You're going to go and, oh, you look amazing. Don't feel bad that you're lying. That's the mitzvah you're supposed to do. Laman tichye. Tzedek. Tzedek tirdof. That sometimes to do a chesed, to do tzedakah in the greatest way, to really do good for a person, tzedek tirdof, you have to chase away truth. You don't tell a person what you really think. Again, aside from the old, like, oh, do you like my haircut, right? Do you like this hat? No, I do not like that hat. One of those Dr. Seuss books, right? Which I haven't read it. Go, dog, go. It's in Go, Dog, Go, right? Okay. It was in Hop, Hop, Hop. Right. I haven't read it in a couple of years. Mira's been a couple of years past that. She reads to herself now, right? So I haven't read that one in a couple of years. But... right, do you like my hat? No, I do not like your hat. Like, idiot. Yes, I like your hat. It's a wonderful hat. You bought it already. I'm not going to say anything bad, right? Of course, Leah, always. I only tell you the truth. You know that. So, so, So that's one area. Like, well, you know, I went to go visit someone in Manhattan today. Not from Shul, someone else, an old family friend. There's a lot of medical tzaras. You look great. Gave him a hug and a kiss. You look amazing. You know, was I a little surprised when I saw him? Yeah, you know, he didn't look so great. To be honest, you know, brought my father in to see this old family friend, went to visit this fellow. You look great. Give him a hug and a kiss. You know, that's the mitzvah. Was it true? No. I didn't think he looked great. But you know what? Tzedek, to do tzedakah, to do chesed sometimes, tzedek teredof, chase it away. Leman tichya, to give the person hope, the person should feel good, that they should live. And v'yarashta es aretz, to inherit the land, he says, the very nature. Think about what Aaron HaKohen did, the famous Chazal, Aaron HaKohen, trying to make peace with people. What did he do? He lied through his teeth. He went and told this person, you know, he really feels bad about it. He doesn't feel bad about it. He was just cursing the guy. Goes to the other person. You know, he really feels bad about it. They both hate each other, both cursing each other out. They both... But for the sake of peace, for the sake of removing machlokas, what do you do? Lie through your teeth. That's what you do. And that's what the Ben Ish Chai is saying. And it's such an important lesson when we come to the month of Elul. Because so often, we think in absolutes. So often, in religious systems, everyone thinks, you know, just black and white. You know, and my Rebbe Rosenzweig always said that children, when they're very young, they only see black and white. So when you're mechanech kids young, they only understand black and white. As they get older, that's when you have to introduce the gray. That's when you have to introduce. But when kids are young, they don't get it. They don't understand. And today's day and age, educating young children, it's not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. You have to be very clear what our values are. What's important? What are the pathways of Torah? You know, and then, you know, as people get older, you can start discussing a little bit more about, you know, the complexities. You start talking about, you know, of Soloveitchik's paradoxes and dichotomies and the tension of catharsis, like, wah-huh. Good, bad, yes, no, like explain to me simple, right? Good or bad. And you're right, it's not PC to talk that way at times, but that's what kids need to hear at times, right? That's why it's a famous, famous story, beautiful story. And the truth is, it's a story for adults also. About later on in the Parsha, a very important pasuk that we've learned many times together before also, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha means you should be not perfect, but you should be whole in that relationship with God. And what does that mean? Many interpret Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha that when we talk about matters of faith, you know, we should never depart from the emuna pshuta of a child. Not an immature faith, but a simple faith. There's a very big difference between simple and immature. We're not talking about, you know, childish faith, right? The famous story through Rabbi David Aaron of Israelite in the Old City, when there was a young man who came from the Ivy Leagues and was in law school and was backpacking through Europe, stopped in Israel and got hooked in Israelite and became a Baal Tshuva, and his parents, very wealthy, old Jewish family, upstate New York, I don't remember where it was, Rochester, Syracuse, like a very wealthy, not religious family. The mother was furious. Her son was going to be the Jewish senator from the state of New York, maybe the first Jewish rabbi. She went to Israel, furious. What is this stupidity? My son's religious now. This is crazy. What? And she goes into Israelite on a tear, and Rabbi David Aaron, who's like the sweetest of the sweet, says to her, ma'am, could you just explain to me how you understand God? Like, what do you think God is? And Rabbi David Aaron says that this very distinguished woman in her mid-50s, very well-educated, Ivy educated, very well-dressed, had such an immature view of God. He said, my six-year-old son had a more mature understanding of God than this 55-year-old woman did. She had just a totally, totally immature view of God. So when we talk about emuna pshuta, we don't talk about immature. We talk about uncomplicated. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Asa Elohim es Adam Yashar Vehem Bikshu Cheshbonas Arbe. In Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, the wisest of all men, God created us straight, we make things very complicated. And that's why sometimes we have to start with the simple things and then work past that. It was well known that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld Zatzal, the chief rabbi of Jerusalem in the early 20th century, very, very special person, tell stories about Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld for hours, where he lived and things, amazing, amazing person. He got along personally very well with Rav Kook, Zechusigin Elenu, even though they were enemies on levels of outlook on life, very divergent paths and outlooks on life. For Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld always, always paid close attention to the children. He always invested time in the children. And Simchas Torah, he would dance with the children, make it Leibedik for them. And one day, after Simchas Torah davening, a young boy came up to him, his name was Avramel, and said, Harav, can I ask the Rav a question? He said, the Siddur doesn't make sense. He says, what do you mean? Why does the Siddur not make sense? He says, first we say, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu. There's none like our God. There's none like our Savior. There's none like our King. And then the next stanza, what's the next stanza?
Me.
Kelo, who's like our God? Who's like our King? Who's like, what should we say first? First we should say, who is like our God? Who is like our Savior? Who is like our King? Who is like our Master? And then what's the response? Ein Kelokein. There's no one like our God. There is no one like what? The Siddur's out of order. No, it's a good question. No, and this little boy Avramel asked that of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said to him, "He said, Avramel, you're asking me a beautiful question. You're asking me such an important question. And listen to me. Even though you're young, listen to me well, because the answer I'm going to give you can save your life." You have to listen to this. It's very, very important. He said, yeah. He said, what we have to start with first is Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshinu. The first point is there is nothing but Hashem. There is nothing but our Master. There's nothing but our King. There's nothing but our Savior. And after, once you have that emuna, that I know this is true, then you can start trying to understand more. Understand on a deeper level. But I have to start with Ein Kelokeinu no matter where you go. And he told him, Avramel, even if you go very, very far from here, you have to remember, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshienu. And of course, Avramel grew up. He left Israel, left Palestine, to go help make some money with family, where? In Europe. And he said, in the camps, there were so many times, that he was ready just to give up on his life. He said, there were so many times. But he says, you know what always came back to him? Those words of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, that's in Pastorday, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshienu. And this is what Chavakuk Hanavi tells us. Tzadik b'emunas ha'yichya. The Gemara at the end of Makos, Tav Chavdala, tells us that's a source that you have 613 mitzvahs and says that different prophets and great biblical figures said that all mitzvahs could be boiled down to more and more. But Chavakuk v'emidan alachas. Chavakuk Hanavi, right, who was the boy that Elisha Hanavi brought back to life, according to the Medrash. He was the one that Elisha brings back to life, the son of the Isha Shunamis. So he was the one that said, Tzadik b'emunaso yichya. As Rav Moshe Wolfson teaches, we've said this over many times, that Chavakuk Hanavi, the prophet who was brought back from the dead, maybe Yonah also, right? He was maybe the one that Eliyahu brought back. But a lot of Chavakuk's prophecies are all for the end of days. Meaning, because he was brought back to life, so he experienced Tchias HaMesim. So he had a unique vision that many other prophets didn't. He had a vision of the end, more than other prophets, because he went, he died, and came back. Very interesting, a very interesting take on Chavakuk. And what does he say? At the end of days, Tzadik b'emunaso yichya. At the end of days, the challenges to the faith of a Jew are going to be so great. Is there any greater challenge than 6 million Jews? 1.5 children? Right? Like, what greater challenge? I always say, the Holocaust survivors I met here in Springfield that I would ask, how do you still believe? And the answers that they gave me, that gave me permission to believe. I didn't experience anything like that. What tzaras have I had in my life? They had the greatest questions. And that they came and they built Jewish homes and they continued to live Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, they gave me the ability to believe. And for each and every one of us, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, we have to know what it really means to believe. So, again, we started talking about the uniqueness and the delicateness and the preciousness and the pricelessness of the soul and how we have to be careful about what it takes in and the challenges that that means during this 40-day period, a very powerful, amazing opportunity during these 40 days of Bria Chadasha, of becoming a new creature. The importance of Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. Always remembering the broader picture. Right. The seal of God is truth, but sometimes it's a mitzvah not to tell the truth. When you do tzedek with chesed, tzedek tirdof, chase away the truth. Right? We have to understand that. We have to always have to have the big picture and be able to understand what is it that God really wants of me at this point, right now. Things aren't always black and white. There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of shoftim, a lot of judiciousness and contemplation that we have to have. And Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, a third pasuk from this parsha, about what it means to be whole with God. There are so many challenges, but we end with the idea that we shared. I don't know when we shared it. Did we share it in a drasha? Did we share it in a... I don't know when we shared it recently, but I know we shared it recently. The idea from Revolbi, that when Revolbi was once accosted by a communist, a socialist who he was very friendly with in Israel. Revolbi was a great Baal Musar. And the guy said to him, Revolbi, I don't understand. You studied under Piaget in Switzerland. During the war, he was in Switzerland, and he studied under Piaget to understand the psychological stages of development of children. Jean Piaget, right? He was one of the greatest psychologists for child educational development. Volby, you're bright. You studied under Piaget. How do you believe this stupidity with God? And Revolbi looked at him and goes, what I believe in makes a lot more sense than what you believe in. And the guy's like, what? Revolbi says, everyone has faith in something. There's no such thing as a person doesn't have faith. Everyone has a faith in something. You have a faith in Marx, in Lenin, in Stalin. Are you crazy? You think about what you have a faith in. You're a communist. You're a socialist. Look at all the socialist societies. Look at all the communist societies. This was in the 80s. Has any of them come close to creating a utopia? Have any of them come close to alleviating the suffering of human beings? Communism, when you add up, probably killed more people than Hitler. And think about it. Think about communism in all of its facets. Think about what it's done. And that's what you believe in? So what we have to recognize, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadomeinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshienu. That's the base. After that, we ask. After that, we build. And as we said in last week's drasha, not this week, last week, that nasasa v'nasata b'emuna, the first question we're asked when we get to the Bezen Shalmala isn't necessarily about being honest in business or conducting our business with faith that God provides, but meaning we know faith is something that we have to constantly be working in, constantly deepen, constantly looking to grow in. Tamim t'yeshem al-kech, if that's a mitzvah, means that we have to constantly be striving towards that. And we should all be zoche. Three very important ideas, three very big ideas. I know it's very, very intense, but hey, it's El. This is a time that we get intense, and we should be zoche, be'ezus Hashem, by coming out, starting the week in a right way, to be able to work on all of these things. Shkoch, shkoch. Thanks again, Michelle, for hosting.